Across the nation, over 700,000 restaurant cooks prepare literally millions of meals each day. Most of them cook to order. Since different foods require different preparation techniques and cooking times, filling the dinner order for just a party of four.
Yeah, 2017 coming hard. That's what we're doing. I'm telling you right now, if it's anything like 2016, then I am going to be extremely happy with it, because what a great year it was. Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome back to Plum Love Foods Live. I am Chef Plum, your host. I'm a chef. I am a television host. I am a radio show host. I am a gentleman who has a great foray into dick jokes, and I like to cook food for a living. That's right, guys. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. Happy New Year to you. I hope your holidays were great. We took a week off because it was time, man. I was working my butt off, and with the holidays, it's just the way things had to happen. I kept trying to work a show in, but it didn't work out that way for me. So, happy holidays. Hey, I'm happy to talk to you guys. We got a great show tonight, but first and foremost, I got to throw out, because I know a certain group of people do check out this program, a huge congratulations to your six-time world champion Pittsburgh Steelers going for the seventh right now. Let me tell you something right now, you guys. That game on Christmas Day was one of the best football games ever to have been played. And let me tell you, I, as a Steelers fan, I was losing my mind. And so much of the fact that I think pretty soon here we're going to have David Todd off from ESPN Pittsburgh to talk Pittsburgh food, Pittsburgh football, tailgating, everything you can think of. Coming up this week, not that this is a sports show, but you know I can't help it. I got to say something about it. We are looking at the Miami Dolphins coming to see the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field in the wild card playoff game. The Steelers open up as 10-point favorites. Sorry, Mr. Tuccio. I know you're a big Miami Dolphins fan, brother, but the Steelers are opening as 10-point favorites. But the best part about this is going to be the segue. Watch this. Tonight's guest, Chef Nick Calais, is going to be on, and Chef is in Boston and is a giant New England Patriots fan. And let me tell you something, Chef. We are coming to get you. We got to get through two games, and we're coming to you, baby. That's right. The Steelers, we're going to be in New England, Gillette Stadium. And if that happens, we got to talk, because I got some plans, brother. I definitely got some plans. Speaking of Chef Nick, he's having a great show tonight. He's going to be on. Chef Nick is, let me tell you how I met Chef. I met Chef in New Orleans a few weeks back, I guess a few months back now. Great guy. Even better chef. We kind of hit it off. We talked. Then we got separated. We were going to go drinking that night, but it didn't happen. Not really sure. I ended up at a gay bar with Leanne Wong. I don't know, but whatever. It was a good time. And anyway, I recently was in Boston doing an event, and ended up going to see Chef at his restaurant, Brasserie Joe, at the Hotel Colonnade. And Chef was an amazing host, took care of us, served some fantastic food. And he's a great talker, so it's great to have him on the show tonight. We're going to talk food, we're going to talk business, and all the good things that we talk about on this very fine program, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, I'm still working out timing. Here's the thing. Monday night worked out better this week, all right? And what's up? Abrupt stop. Monday night worked out better this week. I might be moving this to Tuesdays, but it just depends on the schedule and everything else that's happening right now. You guys know a little of the background. We're talking to Connoisseur Media. That's been going on now for 2 months, but we just can't quite get things to work the way we want them to. But we're talking to them and trying to figure out how things are going to go. So I don't know. I may just say the hell with it and keep doing what I'm doing.
because it's going well. It's going well. But you know, Monday nights, Tuesday. Let me know, man. If you guys want me to stay Monday nights, I'll try to make it happen. You know, I have a client I go to on Mondays, but that could change because a lot of things are changing. If you guys haven't seen it too, also Edible Nutmeg on the Road, the final episode, the season finale was this past Saturday. We went to a brewery, which was awesome. My friends over at Black Hog Brewery Company had a great time over there with those guys. Really loved it. And then we went to Mohawk Bison. That's right. It was a bison farm in Connecticut. We went there and, dude, had some amazing stuff. Great food. And seeing bison. The funny part about that was I wanted to ride one of the animals. And I jokingly said that to the farmer. And it was no joke to him. It literally was like record scratch. He goes, "Chef, these are 2,000, 2,500-pound animals that can run 30 miles an hour, jump 12 feet in the air, and have an 8-foot jump straight ahead. They have two giant swords on their head, and they hate people. You're not riding anything." And I was like, "Whoa, dude, I was just kidding. Like, I didn't actually think you'd let me ride it." But he didn't find it very funny. Hopefully, I didn't offend him too much. But it was fun. Great episodes. All the episodes are available on edibleontheroad.com. You can go to edibleontheroad.com and check out condensed versions of those shows. And I'm very proud of them. They went over fantastic. So I hope you guys get a chance to check those out. It's edibleontheroad.com. Check them out there. There's full episodes. Like I said, they're condensed. Took some of the commercial content out. Left some of it in, though, just to take care of our sponsors. It's important to do that. You know, I mean, those guys, they take care of us. Let's take care of them a little bit, you know? So anyway, 2017, I'm very excited. This program has a lot of options, what we're going to do. But I'm excited to be still doing this program, excited to be kicking off 2017 with you guys right now as I sit down here at the bar in the basement, just poured myself a cocktail. I am, you know, people, New Year's, what do they call them? Resolutions, right? New Year's resolutions. I'm not a big fan of those. To me, it's more about setting a goal and accomplishing the goal. And that's what I'm trying to do here, you know, with me, like a couple little dietary changes. Now, I'm not trying to be the guy who's like, "Look, I'm going to go join a gym. It's the New Year's. Let me tell you something." I'm going to do something different, I think. You know, I am. I'm going to get back to doing, I did Krav Maga for a very long time. I'm going to get back to doing that a little bit more. I got a buddy of mine that wants me to go to his dojo or gym and do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which I don't think I'm going to do because I really don't want to get hurt. I am too big of a guy to be falling down that much. It's not a good idea. But, you know, and things like that, I think it's good. I think that, you know, I think changing up the daily activity is something that's good. And of course, big shout out to my man, Diamond Dallas Page, GDP Yoga. We were coming hard, brother, doing that. I got to get Dallas back on the program and see what's going on with him because he's been blowing up. But that's New Year's resolutions. And for me, the biggest resolution, if it even counts as a resolution, but the biggest resolution is to continue to fall more in love with food again. You know, I kind of had fallen out of it. Got back into it. I was getting better at it, kind of, you know, getting better, not physically getting better at cooking, but getting better at understanding it, understanding how I felt about it. And I think this year I'm really going to go back to the basics for me and just do more studying, simple just learning more technique, learning things that I haven't done before. And I think in the pop-up dining series that's going to start here coming soon, I'm really going to test myself and go to the foods I'm not comfortable with, the things I've never been a big fan of. You know, I don't like foams. I don't like pulling sugars and doing, you know, I like great, wholesome local food cooked with good skill. That's what I've always been about. And cooked properly and nice and clean on the plate. But I think I'm going to change it up a little bit and get to my uncomfortable zone because I think that's how we get better as chefs, to work in that little area between our comfort zone and our uncomfortable zone. Kind of, we can put the two together. So I'm going to try to live in that little area in between those two zones for the next year and see what happens and see how much better of a chef that makes me. I'm also going to open my ears a little bit more to guys who maybe are come from different backgrounds, different areas of the business. I think this show does a lot for everybody. We hear from a lot of people. We talk to a lot of different chefs. We get to hear different techniques, not techniques, but different styles from other, you know, great chefs in this country, all over the place in the show. And I think that, you know, having this as an outlet for them, which is kind of what it's become. You know, the whole idea of the show originally was going to be talking to people who would do TV and TV chefs, but it's really kind of become a sounding ground for chefs who are chefs, for chefs who cook food, for chefs who are all about that. I mean, Chef Nick coming on tonight is an amazing chef. He's done a little TV, but he's definitely a chef's chef, and I'm looking forward to having that conversation with him tonight. So there it is, guys. I'm going to get back to breaking up my daily activity. I'm going to get into out of my comfort zone into my uncomfortable zone, that little area in between. I'm going to live in there for a little while for the rest of the year, kind of in my pop-up dinners and my food. I'm going to study more. I'm going to study more techniques, more things about the business that, you know, just, I don't know, just more history. A wise man once said, if you don't know where you came from, then how do you know where you're going? The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, once said that. It's a great piece of advice. He did say that. So I don't know. I think that that's kind of how I'm going to look into it, man, how I'm going to look forward to the future. I think that we have to understand the history of the business. We have to understand where things come from. We have to understand what brought us to this point that we are on right now. And that, my friends, is some of my New Year's resolutions this year. I hope that maybe you listen to them. Maybe you take them and make your own version of that. You know, I mean, listen, this is about sharing. This is about working together. This is about learning from one another. Because listen, as chefs, we tend to be we tend to be very protective over what we do. But I'm telling you guys right now, if my man, Chef Mark Vaquito from New London, if my man, Chef Nick from Boston, if my man, the one and only Culinary Harassment, Omar from New York City, if we all work together, we are much stronger. We are much better. And we are much better for the business in doing that all together. So remember that, guys. Next time another chef walks in your kitchen, next time you're in another chef's restaurant, next time you're with somebody, or next time that you were thinking about judging someone else's plate, just keep that in mind. We all come from different places, guys. We all come from different places. I'm going to get off my soapbox right now. That's right. It better not be a big soapbox. I'm tall enough as it is. We're going to come right back here in just a minute with Chef Nick. I'm looking forward to talk to him about his restaurant, about the business, about what's going on with everything that he has. This guy is amazing. I ate at his restaurant a few weeks back, had an amazing time. So looking forward to talk to him. It's going to be a great conversation. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, Smoke Signal, Carrier Pigeon, any place else that you think you could find audio entertainment. That's where you'll find this very program. Stay right there, guys. I'll be right back. Hang tight. Oh, yeah. I love that song, dude. Stone Temple Pilots, Wicked Garden. I mean, what a great song is that? And listen, I just totally give it up. We're playing songs in the show if I want to. Welcome back, Plum Love Foods Live. I am your host, Chef Plum. And tonight we are talking to a really amazing chef. Let me tell you something. I met Chef down in New Orleans. We were all cooking for this big event in New Orleans. And Chef came in, and it was early in the morning. We had to get there, start earlier than everybody because we missed the whole day of prep work. Chef came in, and he was working. I made like 75 gallons of mayo. He needed some, so I gave him some. And we had a great conversation. We were supposed to go out and hang out that night and drink after the event, but everything got separated. Like I said before, I ended up at a gay bar with Leanne Wong. Anyway, ended up keeping in touch with Chef, and I was at his restaurant a couple weeks ago. Chef is a really, really amazing chef. Won ton of awards, 2013 Chef of the Year from the Boston chapter of the ACF, Chef of the Year from the Massachusetts Restaurant Association. This guy's been on TV. He's been everywhere. He runs an amazing hotel out in Boston. He's a great chef, an even better person. Ladies and gentlemen, Chef Nick Colias is on the radio with us tonight. Chef, what is happening, brother? How are you?
How you doing, pal?
I am good, man. I am good. I appreciate you taking the time to come on tonight, dude.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
What are you drinking, dude?
Right now, Trimbach Riesling.
Nice. You're a Riesling guy. I forgot when we were at your place, you were hanging out drinking wine all night. Are you a sweet wine guy? Does it have to be? Or
no, you know what? Trimbach Riesling from Alsace is really dry, not sweet at all. It's fantastic.
Interesting. You usually, I think of Riesling, I think of a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, typically you do, but in Alsace, the Trimbach is just, they make it just dry. So it's not a German, it's not like California. Really, really dry. It's my favorite white.
Wow, man. That's awesome, dude. I'm sitting here drinking a Heineken Light because I'm trying to do better on my manly figure that I'm working on.
Just pop that in a wine glass, you'll be all right.
There you go. See, here's my problem, Chef, is I'll drink wine like a beer drinker. That's the issue. I love wine. I love it. But I'll drink a bottle like it's a Miller Lite bottle and just pound it. Boom, done.
God,
it's always great.
You're my restaurant.
Yeah. Hey, I was drinking Boston Lagers that whole night, man. I was trying to be cool about it. Speaking of your restaurant, man, Brasserie Joe, Hotel Colonnade, you guys are crushing up there, man. How many people did you do for New Year's Eve this year?
Yeah, New Year's was a good busy day. You know, one room we did 500 for an event, and then the main dining room, we did about 250, 300, and to turn around, get ready for brunch the next day for about 500. It was a busy night.
God damn, man. And how big of a brigade did you have on that night?
In the restaurant, doing, 200 or 300, we had about six, and my sous chefs and myself, and banquet area, catering. I have a fantastic banquet chef. Between her and three people, that's about it for the 500 and me, going back and forth.
Yeah, you're working back and forth on them, right?
Oh, yeah, you have to. You can't just leave one alone. You got to give a little love to everybody.
They get jealous. Daddy's not spending any time with me.
The third child syndrome.
There you go. That's awesome, man. Now, how long have you been with that hotel? You've been there a while.
Yeah, I've been at the Colony now 10 years. So it's been an awesome ride. I tell everyone I have the best job in the city. It's great. It's great. The creativity, being an independent hotel, the creativity you're allowed, and the amount, just to play. I have a fantastic boss who's been there for 25 years, and, he's just like, make good food, do it well, and make people happy. I mean, what else could you ask for a boss?
That's pretty much it, man. And you've got it down to a science, man. You got a great crew there. And you've been, when you've been in a place like that for so long, it's tough. I mean, dude, you still work your ass off. I'm not playing that down, playing that whatsoever. But when you've been in a place like that for so long, you kind of get to where you've got a nice little thing going to maybe where you don't have to kill yourself every single fucking day anymore because you've been there. You know how it's going to go. You've got a great crew. Is that the way you've gone? Or are you still killing yourself, 150 hours a week?
No, you still, being a chef, you can't settle. Once we come up with a great menu, it's like, all right, now what can we do to make it better? Because trends are constantly changing and different things are happening, and we always want to stay up in all that. So we're constantly thinking, we're constantly making menus. I'm constantly working with my sous chefs and my exec sous, my banquet chef. We're trying to make new things and we're trying to be better every day. So that doesn't take a break. So neither should we.
I love it, man. That's fantastic, man. That's a great way to look at it. You know, I was saying earlier about how, I think that as a whole, we're much stronger than we are individually. And it sounds like you really kind of embrace that with your entire brigade, with your sous chefs and your banquet chefs actually taking their input on stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's a long time coming. For us chefs, when we started young, you know, I took over my first $10 million hotel when I was 24 as the executive chef. And back then, you know, you're like, all right, everything's going to be me. I got to show. I got to shine. I got to do everything myself. And the older you get, the more mature you get, and the more great chefs you work with, you realize you're better as a team. And, you know, and I started a long time ago with a lot of my old exec sous that now one runs Smith & Walensky's, some others have their own restaurants. Yeah. And, you know, you realize that you need their input because you don't need to know everything and you need to keep learning. And no matter how old you get in this field and how much experience you get, you're always going to learn something. So now it's more open. My exec sous, my banquet chef will sit down and say, okay, so what are we going to do for a menu? What's the specials going to be? What do you want to play with? And that's how we kind of create things. And, you know, that's where the best ideas come from.
Wow. I think everybody should pause right now, rewind 15 seconds, listen to Chef right there, because that was an amazing piece of advice. I don't think people hope they realize that. That was an amazing piece of advice right there. You know, just same thing. I used to always try to do events. If I had, you know, small events, obviously what I do is very different, but, you know, I would always try to do, if I had 20 people, I'd go do it by myself. You know, could I do it by myself? Of course I can, right? Not a big deal. But could I give the kind of service and the style of food and do the things I want to do that way? Nah. So it's worth it for me to bring help. And I do it all the time now. I've just learned it from getting older, you know?
Yeah, it's a learned trait for sure. For sure, it's a learned trait.
You know, I that's what I think. And dude, your restaurant, I mean, the restaurant's amazing. We had such a great dinner there. You brought out the most amazing charcuterie plate and the weight of my heart. And I was pretty sure you were trying to take me home that night. The weight of my heart was to bring out cured meat. You put cured meats in front of me and foie gras. I'm putty in your hand. I was done. Delicious.
That's awesome. That's good to know. So wine and pate. I got you.
I'm easy, man. I'm a cheap date. you know, one of the chefs that was with me for our event we did in Boston that you got to meet, Aaron Reed, an amazing chef. He lives in Chicago. He is really talented, does great stuff, really fun guy to work with, another guy who just gets it, who doesn't try to stress about it too much. He said, if I don't mention to you again about how amazing those Brussels sprouts were, that we weren't going to be friends anymore. So I'm passing along the message.
No, I appreciate that, and appreciate that, Chef, for that shout out. Yeah, he was great to meet him. You know, definitely hope to have you guys back up soon, you know, especially this summer, a little rooftop pool action and, you know, all the fun things that go on with that.
Rooftop pool. That's what I'm talking about, homie. There we go. Now, look. So how long have you been in the business now?
I started when I was 11 years old. My parents owned a restaurant. So my dad says to me, I was 11. You want to cook? You want to dishwash? I'm like, oh, I want to cook. I want to be cool. I ended up doing both for about 6 years. And that's where it really started, got me started. I was running my father's restaurant by the time I was 14. I ran the nighttime line, and you know, I tell everyone I could tell you a medium rare steak before I could throw a curveball. That's what I'm like almost bred to do.
Now working in Boston, you can't even say that, really, can you? Like, you gotta be able to throw a curveball. I know you didn't grow up there, but you can't say that, man. That's baseball's lifestyle up there, you know.
Yeah, and Patriots. Don't forget, you know, we'll get some football action.
Who?
You know,
who?
That team. What they call it? 14-2 or something.
Was that hockey? I don't know. I'm a diehard Steelers fan, brother.
Hey, good luck with KC.
I'm looking for the rematch, dude. I'm telling you. Hey, the first time we played KC, it was 42-3. I don't know. Yeah, that's all. I'm a football fan, dude. You
know, I'm kind of excited because, you know, one of you guys aren't coming to see us.
Listen, I think it's supposed – listen – I think that football itself is a better place when New England and Pittsburgh are in the playoffs, because it's supposed to be AFC championship game, New England-Pittsburgh. It's what it's supposed to be.
I agree.
Every 100%. Year. I mean,
I'm with you. Dangerous team.
As Steelers fans, I hate the Patriots. But much like the Ravens, I hate the Ravens, but I respect them, and I respect the Patriots. And I got to tell you, if the game does happen, I'll be up there for the game. My brother has a suite up there, and I'll give you a call. You got to come in.
Absolutely.
I'll give you a Steelers jersey when you walk in the door. Don't worry.
Listen, you bring a Steelers jersey, I'll bring a Pats jersey. The loser wears it home.
Ah, I don't think I can do that. Oh, shit. I'd be the only Steelers fan in the whole damn box, but I'll cheer loud and proud, baby. All right. This is a show about food, not freaking football. But I can't help it. It's football season. And, dude, football is food to me because we make so much food on football Sundays. It's awesome. I love to do it. That's it, man. That's it. So, dude, you've won a ton of awards. I mean, when you put on a bio or a resume, Chef of the Year, like, that's some serious shit to put on there, man. And not only have you done it, but you've done it more than once. How many times have you done that?
I've won Chef of the Year twice. I've been nominated a couple more times after that, actually, before that. I'm a certified executive chef through American Culinary Federation. I'm also a certified culinary administrator at the American Culinary Federation and part of the Escoffier Society of Boston. It's just, once you get to the levels of being an executive chef, you always want to do more. You want to have fun with it. And, you know, being part of the ACF and being a certified chef is fantastic because through that, you get to do so much more. You know, I'm part of the ACF, they call it Chefpertise, where any student or culinarian can go onto their website and have a question for a chef, and they pop in Boston, myself and two other chefs or so will pop up where they can email us and ask us questions or advice or talk about school. And a great part about being part of, like, the American Culinary Federation. You know, I also sit on the board of directors for the Education Foundation for the Mass Restaurant Association. I'm part of ProStat. I'm the lead judge for Massachusetts. And I'm also a national judge. And I sit on four other culinary boards for high schools and colleges to help raise money for scholarships and to really help educate the young cooks now that are coming up that at the end of the day are going to take care of us as we get older.
I hope so, right? I hope so. I mean, that's a whole other bag of grits right there, man. I mean, but dude, God, you do so much stuff, dude. You're a guy who really has taken this, and I'm going somewhere with this, chef, don't worry, but you're taking the whole chef thing, and, you know, not once have you said to me, oh, yeah, I went and did this TV show or I went and done this. You know, it's not about that. It's about being a chef. And you totally you embrace that. Like, that's your thing. Like, you're a chef. You're a chef. That's awesome.
Yeah. My eighth grade yearbook, my ambition was to be a chef.
Was it really?
I'm living the dream that I set for myself when I was, you know, 11 years old, 12 years old. There's nothing else I can see myself doing in this world. I mean, I'm a chef deep down, between all the cookbooks and, you know, my youngest, she's 9 now. You know, she got her first chef coat with her name on it for Christmas, and she's making cupcakes and Christmas cookies. And, you know, that's what it's about, you know, educating the younger ones, bringing people up and just enjoy. Food is love. That's what food is.
Yes,
you know,
it
as well as I do. It's a passion. It burns for us. And this is what we love to do, and it shows, and it makes people happy.
It's part of the reason why I do this program here. It just kind of gives a place for chefs to talk and have conversations and hear from some amazing chefs across the country. And obviously you're at the top of that for sure to hear from. It's good for young. We have a lot of young culinarians who check this show out. A few weeks back, I guess probably about 2 months ago, I got a picture on Instagram from a young chef in Thailand who was checking out this show, and she has a picture of the show on her phone, and she's cleaning fish while she's listening to this very program, which I thought was just amazing to hear, you know, someone from a whole other country just listening to another chef talk so they could learn more. I think it's great, man.
That's fantastic that you can touch that many people across the world. I'm telling you, chef, it is, it's awesome. It makes me feel great to do what I do, to know there are chefs like yourself and other chefs that just really reach out to people to bring people into our world. I mean, you know as well as I do, with the Food Network and everything else, and then the Travel Channel and the cooking channels, chefs have become bigger than, you know, we were 20 years ago. And
absolutely,
it's great to be able to touch all those people.
I think I'm upset that when you say 20 years ago, I can relate. I think that bothers me. Like, I'm like, yes, I remember. I wish I didn't. Like, I wish I could be like, I don't know. What is that like? I can't do that because that's not true. I do remember.
That's a tough memory sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, God. Half shots of Jaeger and dollar. Fucking what beer was it? It was half shots of Jaeger, 20 years ago. I'm thinking about what we used to drink after work. Just, you know, I didn't tell the first part. I started that story right in the middle. I didn't start the beginning. It was half shots of Jaeger because we would tell the bartender, give us half shots because we felt better about it. So it wasn't like we were drinking so much. Only problem was we'd do 14 of them. And then dollar PBRs.
Oh, man.
Yeah, among other things, but that's another story. It's like, God damn. Oh, I don't even know what time it was. The sun was coming up, so I had to go to bed. That's all I knew. I had to be at work. But that's the generation of people. I think that's the generation that we come from. You know, that's my story. You know, I got into this business because I didn't have anything else left to do. Like I was, you know, I always joke about, you know, a lot of chefs and a lot of culinarians, you know, from our generation are, you know, it's a broken band of pirates. It's, you know, you're the exception. You want to be a chef your entire life. I went to school for music theater and worked in restaurants and I just fell in love with it. But a lot of guys I've talked to, you know, a good buddy of mine, it was his way to get into this country. It was how he made it here because he could cook, and everybody has their own separate story. For you, you said your story started with being in high school and having, you know, in your yearbook saying you wanted to be a chef and being 11 years old and working in your father's restaurant. Have you ever done anything else? Have you ever said, you know what, I'm going to take a summer and work on cars and see how I do?
You know, I never have. You know, for me, it was about family. It was a way to connect with my dad and my mom. Yeah. You know, my dad was, you know, he was a master electrician by trade, came over from Greece. And his dream was to own a restaurant. I have a lot of family in Astoria, Queens, and they own restaurants still to this day. And my dad would always go up there and work in the breakfast shop and stuff like that. And he'd bring me along every single weekend, you know, when I was young, I was 6, 7, 8 years old. And, you know, when he had the chance to buy a restaurant, that was his dream. So it was for me, it was a way to connect with my dad and, you know, do something together. And I did it all the way up until I left for culinary school.
You know, that's a good, I want to point that out really quick. That's something I think people should hear too, man. It's like, you know, that's how Chef bonded with his father. Like that was, you know, it's just a different world now, but like, that's how he bonded with his dad. His dad would go and he would bring him with him, and that's what they did. And that was the thing. And, you know, I think everybody has to find something to bond with one another over, and especially when it comes to food and people who love food, it's not that hard to do.
Yeah, it's not. There's always, you know, food is a, you know, is one of those things universal. It's a universal love that everyone has. There's always something, you know, that you make that someone else can't make that you can teach. And it brings everyone together. I mean, it really, really does. I have events at my house. I have friends that come over and everyone's in the kitchen, obviously. And you got to come up to, you know, the house in New Hampshire and we can cook together on my kitchen, pal. And
I'll do it. Love to.
That's what we all do. Oh, anytime, man. The summer's perfect. Big barbecue.
Oh, I'm in. I love it. I'm going to bring you down here to do a pop-up dinner on the water, which would be amazing, with the most amazing oysters you've ever seen in your life. We'll harvest them that day. It'll be great. It's one of my favorite things to do, man. And we're going to do something in the – dude, we're going to do a big dinner out in Montauk this year, a big pop-up dinner featuring a bunch of different chefs. You're top of my list to come out. Bring the family, fucking come out. And I forgot I'm not to curse anymore. I just said fuck. Oh, well. Sorry. Bring the family. It's the greatest time ever, man. We'll go clamming together, get clams that we'll serve that night. It'll be great. But that's the funnest part. I think you find when you do this business, and I want to go back to New Orleans for you and I. And one of the things that I think that, and hey, I just got a message too. Chef Mark, you're in. Don't worry, brother. I'm gonna holler at you. Another great chef out here in New London. Chef Mark Rakito just sent me a message. He goes, let me know I'm in. So you gotta get introduced to him. You love this guy, but it's interesting because I met you in New Orleans. We bonded over mayonnaise, and which was pretty
funny.
That sounds
a little weird, don't you think?
No, what sounds even weirder is that I went with a bunch of chefs to a gay bar and had a great time. But that's another story. That's what happened the night that I was supposed to hang out with you that night, and we ended up at a gay bar with Leanne Wong. I have no idea what the fuck was going on. All I know is I was there. Chef Brother Luck, who was an amazing chef, he was there. His mom showed up, and like it was weird, and I don't know. There's a lot of things going on. We're at a gay bar. I'm like, can I just go find Chef weird. Nick and get a beer? I don't even know what's happening. It reminded me of
No wonder Chef Wong looked so tired when I saw her at the airport the next morning.
Oh, dude, it was so strange. I was like, I felt like I was 19 years old again. I was like, wait, is there going to be half shots of Jaeger passed out? What are we doing? But, you know, you do these events, my sous chef at the time, who I brought with me, you know, I was explaining to him, and I just want you to kind of talk about this a little bit. I was explaining to him, you do these events, it's not about winning or losing. I mean, I didn't give a shit about that. Do you care about that?
Not at all. It's about making friends and cooking together.
That's it, man. It's about meeting new people, making experiences, enjoying what we're doing, because that's what I did. And here I am now talking to you, and I got a great chef, an amazing chef, buddy in Boston. I mean, that's what you do. That's what you go to these events for, because he was bummed about how things turned out. I said, bro, it's not about that. That's not what you do these events for. You know, when you do these events, you do these TV shows, that's what you do. And you were on, you make friends, and you did Guy's Grocery Games, much like I did. Only thing is I won. But you did.
Ooh.
What happened? But you know, you do a show like that, and you make friends. I'm sure you made friends on your show, right?
Yeah, you know, Guy's Grocery Games was it's a great experience, a lot of fun running around that grocery store. I think for Christmas, my daughter this year got little Shopkins, and it was all shopping carts for me. I'm like, thank you. It was cute toy.
I love how you said Shopkins, too. Yeah, like, I know what you're talking about, but nobody else knows what the fuck you're talking about, but I know what Shopkins are.
But, you know, I had a great, amazing time, and three chefs, actually four chefs, you know, we were hanging out with, Chef Alex from Tennessee, Chef James from Hawaii, Chef Dewan from Jacksonville, Chef Diana from New York. We've all stayed really close. The chef from Tennessee actually was the singer-songwriter, amazing voice, sings at his church, 5,000 people strong every single week. And he flew up here from Tennessee twice already, cooked with me for a 300-person event for lunch just because he wanted to cook. And I'm going to go to Tennessee in March, and James from Hawaii is going to fly to Tennessee so we can do Food Network collaboration pop-up dinner down in Tennessee. But that's exactly right. That's exactly what it's about. You do these things, and you have instant connections with people. You know, you and I, like you said, bonded over mayonnaise. And right off the bat, I don't know how this is going to sound, but right off the
go
bat,
for it. It's cool.
You had me at mayonnaise.
Especially when I said I made that shit, huh?
Yeah. So, but that's what it's about. I mean, that's what I love doing these things.
Oh, man. I mean, it was so good. I wish that
to know each other.
And that's what's amazing about it. Like, I know a ton of chefs here where I live in Connecticut, and that's just kind of what you do, man. You just make friends with these guys and do stuff. And God, I wish that I had reached out to you. I didn't even think about it. Till after the fact, when we first got to New Orleans, we did a live show from the hotel down at the bar, and they set us up in that little room, that weird little room they had, and they were feeding us beers, and we were talking about stuff. They kept bringing food out, too, which I'm not going to shit on their food, but, you know, whatever. It was a Marriott. But we had a bunch of the guys kind of come down, and one of the guys I just fell in love with was Mark Henry, and I know you know Chef Mark, and just what an amazing guy and great chef, just super sweetheart, and feel bad for him. He had a terrible motorcycle accident a few months back, and was laid up for a while. I think he's back to walking now, and great chef. I know he thinks the world of you. I saw him posting on social media about you. He checks out the show a lot. Chef, if you're listening, man, hope you're feeling better. Talk to you soon. But that's what it's about.
Yeah,
making those friends.
Hope you're doing well, man.
It's about making those friends.
Well. Adventures.
No doubt, man. He's doing a ramen joint, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. So anyway, let me digress. So you did Grocery Games. You met a bunch of people. You've done a lot of local TV. What do you think, man? Because I think that one of the things I like to talk to a lot of chefs about in this program is that how much the business has changed, how much, I don't know, man, it's different. Like, I got recently asked, I'm trying to figure out how to word this, not sound like an asshole, so I apologize, about taking a gig, and they wanted to know how many Twitter followers I had and how many Instagram followers I had for the gig. And I was like, is that a thing that we pay attention to? Is that a thing? Like, have you heard of such a shit like that? Like, it's a weird world we live in now when it comes to food.
Well, social media is so strong now. I remember when I got my first Twitter account 5 years ago, my director of sales was like, hey, we set you up with a Twitter account. I'm like, why? He's like, well, mm-hmm. you can tweet. I said, great, what's a tweet? I cook, I don't tweet. I said, who's going to do it for mm-hmm. me? Oh, chef, you're going to do it yourself. I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
You know, and then, you know, it took me a couple of years to embrace it. But, you know, it's for, you know, I know in Boston, you know, there's a lot to do with social media. And, I mean, it's just everywhere. And it's so easy on your phone. And it really gets things out. And I use it a lot for, you know, for our food and for our charities and for our events that we're doing to make people aware, because people aren't picking up newspapers anymore. People don't really read the magazines yeah. anymore. They want to look on their phone.
Right.
You know, I have a lot of people ask me about Twitter followers and Instagram followers. And, do you do this? Do you post things? And, yeah, great. You know, but it's one of those things that 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I've been like, no, my phone stays in my pocket and I'm working. Thank you.
Right, right.
And don't you dare pick up your phone. I mean, I've dropped someone's phone in their fryer lid for using their phone in the kitchen once.
No shit.
When you could do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I walked by this kid's on the hotline. I'm like, hey, get off your phone. He's like, oh, chef, 1 second. I'm taking a call. Really? I walked up behind him, took his phone, dropped in the fryer lid.
Yeah, you don't say that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, chef. Yeah, no, chef, I'm taking a call.
His face was priceless. My exec Sue just started laughing and walked away. I thought he was going to pee himself.
I would have peed myself if I watched that happen. I'd have been like, chef, so should I text you tomorrow or what? Wow, man. That's insane. Yeah, it's weird because we have a different generation of cooks these days, I think. And it's amazing how, you know, my wife works in HR and she worded this perfectly, and I gotta give her credit for it. But even with the jobs and things that she does, she says, we live in a world now where it used to be when you go to a job interview, you would say, you know, I'm excited, I'll do whatever it takes, I'll make things happen, you know, give me more, I'll make it work. And we're now, it's instead of all that, these guys basically, and I'm obviously paraphrasing, these guys are saying, what kind of work environment are you going to provide for me to be here? And you know what I'm saying? Does it make sense?
It's a sense of entitlement now, that instead of work ethic, you know, and we're missing some of that somewhere along the line. Somewhere
what happened?
It's lost in translation.
What happened?
You know, a lot of it is, you know, I speak to a lot of high school students. I speak to a lot yeah. of colleges, but I speak to a lot more high school students. I sit on a lot of culinary boards at high school to make sure they understand what this field is. And I say the same thing to all of them. Do you like to cook? They're like, yes. I'm like, great, do it at home then. Do you love yeah. to cook? Then be a chef. It's a completely different, hey, I like to make breakfast on the weekends. Great, then make it on the weekends.
Right.
If you have a passion and you're playing. And you're playing and you're trying to do different things. I remember when I did my internship, you know, I'm in the salad station at a Sheraton doing an internship back in early 90s.
back in 76. You had to walk there uphill both ways, no shoes.
The wind blowing, the snow blowing in my face.
That's it.
But, you know, I'm taking silverware, I'm wrapping it in like tin foil and stuff, and I'm making chocolate silverware just because I want to do something different and experiment. And wow. Now the kids see, you know, the Food Networks, the Travel Channel, the cooking channels, and all those shows are great, but those chefs that are on there, they did the same things that we did growing up to become what
Absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely.
The kids see that and like, oh, I want to be the next Bobby Flay. Great. Did you know Bobby Flay did that for 20 years before he was Bobby Flay?
Right.
You know, and I want to be the
next
Robert.
He was Robert back then.
It doesn't come overnight. And that's what, you know, that's what the youth and the chefs that are coming out now, a lot of them just having that mindset and understand this is a craft that you have to work at. You have to be, you're not going to be the best. Don't ever think you're going to be the best because you're not. There's always going to be someone better, but always strive to be the best. There's a difference to strive for and or think you are. Just keep pushing.
Absolutely.
And you'll go far. But you have to have that right mindset and the right work ethic.
Work ethic is key. I don't think you can be 30 years old living in your parents' basement and thinking that your work ethic is going to come from playing Xbox. And I'm just saying, like, in general, like, you know, I think there's a group of people now or culinarians who live that way, and guys who are very, very talented but don't have the drive to do anything different because they'd rather work their 35, 40 hours a week because that's full-time, chef. Phew! And try to make something
that's
themselves.
That's 3 days.
I mean, yeah, right? Come on, brother. Like, prove yourself. You know, you can get to that point. And, you know, all these TV things, I say it all the time, the TV things, the accolades, all that shit, that's a product of 20 years of working my ass off. That's not what I strive to do. That's something that happened because of what I've done. And you can't come out of culinary school and expect that that's the shit that's going to be. I had a guy come work with me one night, chef, and trust me, it was one night. And he said to me, I don't want to give things too much shit away. He said to me, he goes, chef, we're at the gig. Can you please refer to me as chef? I looked at this motherfucker. He was 21. I looked at this motherfucker like he had seven heads. And I said, I absolutely will. But every single time I do, I want you to grab my balls and give them a little tingle. Just do that for me every single fucking time. You don't mind. I'd be happy to call you chef. Just reach down there, use three fingers and get in there a little bit. And he looked at me, he goes, ha, 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 ha. He's laughing. And I just stared at him. And I went, no. You're lucky if I'm even going to refer to you by your fucking name now. Like, what is wrong with you, man? But that's the world we come in. These kids go to some little program at the local community college and they come out and want to be called chef. And I don't get it. Do you see that where you are too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember the difference is when you graduate culinary school now, they say, congratulations, you're a chef. When I graduated culinary school back in the day, it was congratulations. And this is from my dean. You're now a prep cook. Go earn that title.
Oh, wow.
You got to earn it. You got to earn it. You know, it's tough. It's tough out there. There's a lot of chefs, a lot of restaurants opening up, you know, and the unfortunate thing is you got some, you know, you got restaurants that will hire a kid out of culinary school and say, you're the chef of the restaurant now. Well, that's unfair to the kid too, because they're not ready for that. And that's what makes weaker chefs is people get in the positions before they're ready. You know, I tell all my staff, and same thing happened to me. You know, I was 23, I turned 24. I was the exec sous at a $10 million hotel. I did the job before I got the job. So when the job was up, my GM, my interview lasted a cigarette and an espresso. By the time he was done with an espresso, I got these folders full of paperwork and plans. And he looks at me and goes, what the hell is all that? I'm like, these are all my plans. He's like, you have the job. And he walked away. I'm like, wow, that was easy. But I did it before I got it. So it was an easy decision.
Wow. I just don't get it, man. I just don't understand what in the world people are thinking these days when it comes to it. I truly, truly don't. You know, listen, we all joke around. I've had stories about dumb servers, and you know, I mean that in the most nice way possible. You know, the most nice way possible when I say dumb servers. But one time, brother, I had a server ask me one time. She said, "Chef, what time's that 5:30 party coming?" Yep. Yep. I told her they'll be here about 6:30. Make sure we're ready. and then I said, hey, before they get here, chef, I said, before they get here, you know the coffee machine? She goes, yeah, so we gotta clean it. Can you empty out all the hot water for me so then we can clean it properly? I gave her two pitchers. Yeah, it's connected.
Yeah, I had one server, and before all my servers can get on the floor of my restaurant, they have to do mock service with me. So they have to serve me dinner to see if I approve how they open wines, how they serve the food, how they explain the food. And I drill them for about a half hour on everything on the menu. And I had this one guy who was so nervous thinking about dumb service. He was so nervous. I said, I'm very allergic to nuts in the beginning of the meal. And I said, what's the dessert special? It's a chocolate hazelnut tort. Does it have nuts? Because I'm allergic. I don't know. Okay, so he walked in, Chef Cuisine. The chef threw his pizza up, looked at me, he's like, really?
Well, look, Chef, I got to tell you, man, I think we've started something. We're going to take a call. I don't do this very often. There's about 15 calls lined up right here, but I recognize this phone number. I'm gonna put it out there to it. All right, you ready?
Cool, I'm ready.
Here we go. I recognize the number, of course. The one and only Mr. Chef Mark Vaquito. Chef, how are you tonight, brother?
Hey, I'm good, Chef Plum. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You digging the show this evening?
Oh my God, this is great. Nick, how are you, Chef?
Hi, how are you, Chef?
I am doing good. Hey, I got a great story. You know what? I got the same thing going on in my kitchen. I had this young gunslinger come out of culinary school, comes into my kitchen, first day in the kitchen, looks at me, and, you know, he's boiling some eggs. He's working pantries, boiling some eggs for me. He looks and says, hey, Chef, how long for a hard-boiled egg? I'm like, you know what? Really? Get out of my kitchen. Really? Hard-boiled egg. How long? You're out of freaking culinary school. How long have you been there, dude? Don't walk into my kitchen and say, how long for a hard-boiled egg?
How long for a hard-boiled egg? That's fucking hysterical. Dude, there's nothing worse than when these new kids come out and they look at a recipe and goes, Chef, what does 9 hashtag mean egg? Seen it all, man. Mark, what's going on with you, bro? You doing having a good night?
Oh my God, I had a great night. I had dinner with the media director for the UConn Huskies tonight. We had a great time. I got home and then you text me telling me, you got to listen to my show, dude. Of course I'm going to listen to your show.
We got an amazing chef on tonight.
Having a great time listening to Chef Nick. And, dude, man, I'm getting that thing together for the Historical Society tomorrow, so I will let you know about that.
Sounds good, brother. Sounds good. I got to introduce you to Chef Nick. He's a great guy. He's one of those Boston guys. If you can't hear the accent.
There he is.
Next time I'm up in Boston, I'm going to come see you, man.
Please do.
Oh, there it is. All right.
Definitely. Me and my wife love Boston.
And let me tell you something, you couldn't pick two better people to come to Boston and check you out, that's for sure. Chef Mark, I appreciate it, brother. We'll talk to you down the road, all right?
Absolutely, man. Take it easy, guys.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Yeah, that's a good dude right there, Nick. He's a great guy, man. It's funny because this whole story, man, I mean, this conversation, like, it's kind of the way this show goes. We're just talking. It's the way shit happens. You know, we start talking about cooks and things like that. But an interesting thing came out. It was a study that apparently was done by, fuck, I don't know, one of those Department of Labor or some shit from Fox News. And they did a whole story on it this past weekend. And it's interesting, man. Let me play it for you, okay? You ready? Check this out.
Welcome back. A shortage of cooks causing a crisis in America's restaurant kitchens. The Bureau of Labor Statistics predicts some 200,000 new chefs will be needed in the coming years. But the pricey cost of culinary school and low wages driving aspiring cooks away. Anita Vogel is live for us in Los Angeles with the details. Anita, no.
Yeah, a nice location here. We're at Louie's Restaurant in West LA, a popular spot, and one of many restaurants across the nation having trouble keeping cooks in the kitchen. Heather, it seems even aspiring chefs nowadays don't want to work their way up the food chain.
Here we have Jaime. Right now, he's a line cook. But due to the nature of the shortage of line cooks, Jaime is also, like, my kitchen right-hand man.
John Atkinson owns two restaurants in Southern California, and like many others across the nation, has trouble finding young, aspiring chefs who are willing to get their hands dirty.
It's not what you see on TV. There are no Bobby Flays in any of these kitchens. It's really just sweat and hard and hot.
This is our secret spice that we have.
It's the same story in New York, where Salvatore Coppola likes to keep both his Manhattan eateries brimming with his old Italian family recipes, but also worries about finding enough help.
It's long hours. They're getting paid, you know, $15 to $22 to $25 an hour at this point, which is still good money.
That's New York.
where people are not earning.
Yeah, wow.
It's just a very difficult job.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates 200,000 more cooks will be needed in the next 8 years, but the supply has been chopped by the high cost of culinary school, low wages, and millennials wanting to go out on their own, like aspiring baker Brittany Hicks.
By the time we graduate, we really are like, okay, I've kind of done that already. Now let's branch out and do it for myself.
But you haven't. Oh, wow.
Who saw how their parents were impacted by the recession of 2008. They don't want that to happen to them. They're completely entrepreneurial in spirit. And so their real goal and desire is to go out and start something on their own.
So without enough cooks in the kitchen, one thing restaurant owners are having to do is to take a look at their menus and pare it down. This particular restaurant offers about 5 chicken dishes. Well, the owner here may have to cut it down to 3 or 4 if he can't keep those cooks in the kitchen. He's a real foodie. I know he would hate to do it, but, you know, he's got to keep the doors open here.
Yeah, certainly.
Back to you.
Anita Vogel, Happy New Year to you.
So I have a couple of things here on this. All right, number one. 5 chicken dishes on your menu sounds like you should look into beef. That's a lot of fucking chicken dishes to have on one menu. I'm just saying. Maybe I'm an asshole, but that's what I think. Two, I actually appreciate. Yeah, right. I actually appreciate the fact that a major news, you know, like national news, like Fox News, is doing a story on that, and that they would put out there that these millennials are coming in and want to just do it on their own. Which is hysterical, because that brings to my third point. The girl in that story, that chef, that baker, who was like, yeah, we've been to culinary school. And I'm like, yeah, we've kind of already done that. No, you haven't. You haven't done shit. You've done fucking nothing. You've done nothing. I don't know. But it's crazy, right? That was a Fox News story on the national Fox News channel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've already done it. Done what? You haven't done anything. I mean,
right.
Right now in Boston... It's even in the summer, I did an article for the Boston Globe. They interviewed me regarding the shortage of cooks in Boston, and it's tough. It's we're looking for line cooks all the time, and yeah, New York's paying 25, Boston's not paying 25, you know, and it's
right.
Well,
most places in the country aren't paying 25. Most places in the country aren't paying 25.
Right. I mean, I actually had, this is no lie, this is an interview I had 2.5 weeks ago with the guy come in for be a line cook. All right, I'm going to pay you $20. I'm going to pay you $19 an hour. I said, but first, before you come in, when you're going to come in for an interview, bring your whites. I'm going to cook. You're going to cook me a piece of chicken and a piece of steak. I want a steak medium rare.
Okay.
I want a composed chicken. He looks at me.
Sure.
He comes in a suit. I said,
what?
Where's your whites? Well, I didn't. Isn't that kind of a lot to ask of me to do before you hire me?
Come on.
Excuse me? I said, okay.
Come on.
I got out. I literally just got up, looked at my exec suit, said, you can finish. I'm done. And I walked away. I'm like, my exec suit said, you can leave, of course.
Oh, my God. I drove to Florida for free to be a sous chef at a resort. I drove for free to be there and to cook for free for 3 days to try to get the fucking job. Are you kidding me?
But that's gone.
Wow.
Every cook that comes into my kitchen... If you're a line cook, you're going to cook me a steak and a piece of chicken. You're a sous chef, you're going to make me an egg dish, and then you're going to make me a 4-course meal. If you're an exec sous or chef de cuisine, you're making me a 5-course mystery basket. That's
sure.
Before I even talk about your resume. I already looked at your resume. I brought you in for a reason. Now show me you can cook, and then we're going to talk about a job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, wow. Wow. Is that a little too much to ask of me? Stop it. That did not happen. That's crazy talk. Oh, I'm worried, Chef. I'm worried. Is this what we're building? Is this the nation that we are, the food nation that we are fostering as a whole? I hope not.
Well, the more people like yourself and Chef Mark Henry and myself and the chefs around Boston, and the more we talk about this in New York and LA and all the other great chefs that are around this country, keep together and keep enforcing what being a chef is, and good technique, and not forgetting technique, and, you know, doing everything right. There's enough of us out there that hopefully enough of the younger people can see that and be like, oh, this is what it is to be a chef. This is what real work is. You know, bring it out on your own, graduate culinary school. Okay, they're going to be looking for a sous chef job in 2 years. I mean, we know the ratio of how many restaurants actually make it.
Right.
It's scary. It's 100% scary. I mean, we have Eataly that just opened up in Boston. Great place. Chef there is a fantastic guy. They hired 640 hospitality people out of our pool in Boston.
Good Lord.
640. We're dying for cooks. But, you know, the Cordon Bleu closed all over the country. So they're having their teach out. They're done in less than a year. That's a good amount of cooks taken away. And it hurts.
That is crazy, man. That really is insane. I had no idea Cordon Bleu was closing like that.
They're having a teach out right now.
I mean, listen, it's one of those things where this lifestyle, this profession can be extremely rewarding. It truly can. And it has its perks. Perks like going to Chef's Nick's place at Brasserie Joe and having an amazing meal and he's taking care of you. And just those are perks. That's what we do for each other, you know? But you got to work for it. You got to earn it. You got to show you can do it. And, you know, I hope that, you know, things like you're doing, sitting on all those boards and talking to high school students, me doing this dumb little show here that people download and check out, is showing that and saying, listen, there's a whole world here for you. You just got to be willing to work for it a little bit. Because, and listen, this country is amazing and you can do whatever you want in this country, but no one's going to give it to you for free. And just because you got a degree from a culinary school doesn't mean you're a chef. You have to earn that title. And I believe that.
150%. It's all about work ethic, earning it. And as far as anyone concerned, culinary school, you still have to go up the ladder. You don't automatically, it's not chutes and ladders. You don't go all the way to the top because you're going to fall all the way down.
No.
You take step by step and you'll get there. And it's more rewarding when you do it that way. And then, I've been fortunate enough in my kitchens over the last 10 years of the Colony Hotel. My management team right now, all of them were my line cooks. My executive sous chef, who's my right hand, and you met Chef Manny down in New Orleans.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Incredible guy. He was my grill cook, and he's now my executive sous chef. My banquet chef, she was my banquet cook. She's my executive banquet chef. My sous chefs were my line cooks. You know, you get chefs that want to promote from within and train and bring people up. That's what we need. We need chefs to commit to their cooks, to bring them up to be sous chefs. And then we're going to be able to restock the pile of what we need for chefs.
That's it. And you think about it. I mean, your executive banquet chef, your executive sous chef, they're making a nice living for themselves. They've earned it. They've worked their way up, but they're making a nice living now and reaping the benefits of that hard work that they had to do, aren't they?
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, we take great care of them financially. You know, Manny's a hard one to get out of the kitchen, but that's the one thing. If I could have anybody, any young cook, shadow any of my guys, shadow Manny for a week. The kid's in at 5:30 in the morning, 6 a.m. I'm trying to throw him out of the kitchen by 6 p.m., 7 o'clock at night. He's like, no, another rush coming. I'm good. And he's leaving at 9, 10 o'clock at night, 5, 6 days a week, 7 days a week.
Wow.
That's what's missing.
That's the guy you want, man. That's the guy you want. That's the guy.
That's one you want to go to battle with.
Yep, that's the guy you want. Listen, Batman had a Robin, and Robin was badass. Trust me. Look at young when Robin started running not the Justice League, but Young Justice, or whatever they're called, Teen Titans. Robin's a badass because he was with Batman. So always keep that in mind. There's no shame in being Robin to Batman because eventually Robin becomes a badass. That was a nice little like thing right there. I like that.
That was. He becomes Batwing or Nightwing, whatever it is.
Nightwing was a beast, dude. Look, I think I've seen on your Instagram. Are you a comic book guy? You love comic book movies? Is that what I saw?
Oh, yeah. My son and I. That's how we bond.
Yeah. Is it? That's awesome. Me too. I grew up reading comics. I'm a giant comic book fan. I'm a giant Spider-Man fan. What's the biggest movie you're looking forward to this summer coming out with all the Marvel movies?
November, Justice League. I'm a DC guy.
Are you really? Fuck me.
You sounded so defeated.
I am, man. God damn it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you my 2 cents, and I want to hear your thought on what I'm about to say. Because I've never had a DC Comics fan. I think it's you and two other guys. I've never met any other ones. Are you ready?
All right.
That was a good. DC, the TV shows are killing it. Arrow is awesome. Flash is awesome. Supergirl's not even that bad. They just did a big team up, or it's a great series, man. They're doing awesome with it, right? I mean, have you watched them? Do you agree? Are those good shows?
Oh yeah, my son and I, we you know, I try to get home at a certain good time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to watch them with them, and Thursday.
Yeah, it's great stuff. So why in the hell, and it's the most successful thing DC's done, why in the hell would you cast someone different as Barry Allen for the Justice League movie? You know why Marvel's so good? The continuity. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's continuity with the Marvel movie, with all the Marvel movies. Now we have a different Flash. Why would we do that?
I'm with you 100%. My son and I say the same thing. Oh, that's not Barry Allen.
No, Grant Gustin is doing an amazing job playing Barry Allen. I don't know, man. I don't know. And listen, the trailer looks great. The trailer looks great. And I think that I may be in the minority, but I think that what's his name playing Batman is a good thing. I think he does a great job because he grew up a Batman fan and reading comics. But I don't know, man. We'll see. I'm a Marvel guy. I have been forever. But I don't know. I did watch Superman versus Batman, and it wasn't as bad as everybody said.
I agree. I mean, it's a little dark, but you know what? That's Snyder. Aquaman looks awesome. You know, we got Wonder Woman. I know you got, you know, what's her name? Scott, Black Widow, but we got Wonder Woman.
Well, Black Widow would get her ass kicked by Wonder Woman, no doubt.
There you go.
It wouldn't even be a fight. All right, so look. So here's what
people are tuning in now saying, this is comic book hour?
Yeah. That's it, man. Well, check it out, man. We're going to play a quick round of What Did You Learn? Chef, I appreciate your time tonight, man. You've been amazing to talk to. I could talk to you for 3.5 hours. I look forward to the next time when we can sit down together, have a cocktail, and just talk shop and, fuck, cook together soon. That's for damn sure. I think that's got to happen here very, very soon.
Absolutely. Anytime, my brother.
Mm. You got time? You got 2 more minutes you can give me to play a quick round of What Did We Learn Tonight on Plum Love Foods?
Absolutely.
All right, here's what we do. So we basically just recall the conversation we've had tonight, and we point out a couple things that we learned. It doesn't have to be serious. It could be fun, tongue-in-cheek. I'll go first, don't worry. Ladies and gentlemen, What Did We Learn Tonight is brought to you by Ergo Chef Knives, the brand new shape of cutlery. That's right. Ergo Chef Knives is shaping the way your brain is on What Did We Learn and shaping the new shape of cutlery for your knives. Check out ErgoChefKnives.com and use promo code PLUM15 off for a great discount on your order. Those guys are fantastic, locally made right here in the Northeast. Great knives. I use them every single day. ErgoChefKnives.com. All right, you ready? Here we go.
Yep.
I learned that Chef Nick wants me to come back to Boston so he can take me up to the rooftop pool, have a cocktail, and some pate, which I look forward to. And I'm not going home from that night. You got to do a little bit more than that. It's a second date. Third date, at least. Third date. All right.
I learned that Chef Plum's going to take me to go do some clamming and make some fresh clams out on the waterfront.
That's right. That's actually going to happen. We are totally going to do that. That is very, very true. I learned tonight that apparently it was a slow news day for Fox News a couple days ago because they started talking about the restaurant industry. That's never happened. That's what I learned tonight.
I learned Chef Plum really likes to make his own mayonnaise.
Hey, look here, brother. It used to be two-handed. Now I can do it one-handed. You know, that's what happens. After you've been married for a while, you know, things change. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, do I. Wow. On that note, I think it's time to get up out of here. Chef, tell them where to find you on social media. I'm going to go make some mayonnaise. Where they can get you. Jesus.
So on Twitter, I'm at Chef Callius, and on Instagram is CEC Chef.
There it is. Check him out on Instagram and on Twitter. He's very responsive. He'll talk to you. Chef Nick Callius, what a great guy, man. Again, thank you so much for your hospitality when I was up there a couple weeks ago. I look forward to it. I look forward to the friendship. I look forward to moving forward. Is that a thing? I guess so. And 2017 it's going to be an amazing year, dude. I look forward to it, man. Spending time with you, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. Thank you for having me. A happy new year to you, your family. You know, all the blessings for good health and a good year, my friend.
There you have it. And I'm going to keep Chef Nick right here while I end this show, because why not? That's what we're going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember that food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. Big shout out to my man, Chef Nick. We appreciate you coming out. Check him out in Boston. And we'll see you guys next week right here. Peace. Time for you to get down on your knees.
You're a great father. You're a great father.